Hello, everybody. Ryan here, and we are back for another episode of the Lapdown Podcast. With me tonight, you have got Ben off to my left here. You got on my right, you've got Tino, and down below, we've got
Tyler.
We got Tyler. Sorry,
what's up? How we doing, guys?
Oh, yeah, the four of us here
Great.
tonight. We're going to be talking about the
Bristol craziness.
Bristol. Yep, the Bristol race that took place this past weekend on St. Patrick's Day. And look forward to this upcoming weekend's race at Circuit of the Americas and maybe a couple of other topics when we get to them. So we've all right. Who wants to start us off on talking about Bristol?
Tyler, do you want to rant?
I
Yeah, I think
personally
Tyler.
So my personal opinion is it actually wasn't a terrible. I've actually was looking back. It's not a terrible race. It's not as like a lot. It's not as bad as people make it out to be. It could be better. Yeah, it was way better than Phoenix by far. But that's just Phoenix Raceway. Bristol usually has good racing, even in a next gen car. I mean, yeah, it's old Bristol. Everybody wanted old Bristol back at single file. That's what old Bristol was single lane, and everybody's complaining that it's shit racing.
Yeah, it's true.
The issue I had was every time I tried listening to it on the radio, everybody was pitting every single time. Like it wasn't a key. Every time I got back in the car, it was like, oh, they're pitting again. I'm like, what the fuck is going on?
The tire, because the tire, because Ben, well, if you didn't miss it, Ben, I'm gonna rant a little bit more. The track was just too cold, and the resin was actually meant to wear the tires, and it wasn't heating up as correctly because of the air temperature and the track temperature.
Usually they would put a PJ1 down, which is what they usually use, and the tires built to wear down on PJ1, but I guess they decided to use the resin this time to see how it would go. I don't know if they were expecting the track temperature to stay like it was. Maybe they were expecting the clouds to move away, maybe a little sunshine later on in the afternoon, but didn't work out that way. I think that it was just a little freak accident with the weather and the resin mixture caused some tire wear and tires to go down like nobody's business. So that was just wild.
It was a good race. It had the most lead changes ever in a Bristol race.
I say in any short track race, that includes any races at Martinsville or Richmond too.
Yeah, that's true.
And definitely, and what from what I'm hearing, we had the most lead changes.
Yeah, that's
And
what I just
oh, is that what you said? My
Yeah,
apologies.
no, you're good. Yeah, that's
Yeah.
what we just
I
mentioned.
mean, yeah, that's wild, to see that. It's just good racing all around, like side by side. I didn't really see too many Bristol races before where they went from lap to lap, side by side, and didn't spread out and go single file and. You know what I'm saying? So that was pretty crazy to see. I think this new package is a little
It was
different in the.
definitely more competitive.
Yeah, for sure.
It really felt a bit to me like it was a tale of two races, because in the first half of the race, you had the constant tire issues where the tires weren't lasting about 4 miles. It was like the tires would blow out every 10 to 15 laps. And around Bristol, I mean, that is legitimately about 4 or 5 miles that the tires were going, and they were just losing tires left and right. Surprisingly, only one actual DNF out of the race. Everybody else was still technically running at the finish. But then in the second half of the race, you had a lot less tire issues. Seemed like the teams were able to at least temporarily fix whatever the problem was to avoid blowing out tires every 10 to 15 laps, to the point where the final run went green flag to the checkers, including a green flag pit stop cycle in there, which led to Denny Hamlin lapping everybody, but I think the up to
Top
fifth
five.
place, if I'm mistaken. Yeah, top five is the only guys on the lead lap, so it was definitely, it felt like a tale of two races, because
It was
again,
five
first
cars.
half, you had a lot of tires going down and a lot of lead changes happening in the first half.
Yeah,
And then
like
Hamlin decimated the second one.
I was gonna
Yeah.
say that there were 54 lead changes during the race. That was just a little
That's a
that's
lot
just
of people.
wild. Yeah.
That would have been pretty cool if that had been the 54's first win.
And just to recap with the tires that we were talking about, Goodyear brought the same tire that they ran last fall's night race and had no problems. I just think that it's with the just the PJ1 and the you know, they switched the PJ1 with the resin. I believe that may have been just what messed it up, everything up. So,
do you think they should have used the short track setup, or you think that wouldn't have made a difference at all?
I mean, I liked the racing how it was, honestly.
I mean, it was nice, but I mean, I wonder if it made a difference in the wear and tear of the tires.
Yeah, running a little bit harder than you're supposed to, maybe.
Yeah, because it's not a short track setup they were running there. So they
were running the intermediate.
Huh?
They were running the intermediate setup.
Yeah.
Is that what it was, the intermediate? Okay.
They were running the intermediate package.
That's still not made for that track.
Actually, yeah, it is, because how fast Bristol is. Would you realize how bad the racing would have been with that short track package?
And say my main thing when it comes to the aero packages, and I think I've said this a couple times already on the podcast, but I just don't know how much an aero package really affects a short track. Now, granted, Bristol is a different type of short track to, say, the Martinsvilles, the Richmonds, where, I mean, aerodynamic changes are minuscule when your speeds are topping out at, say, 130, 140 miles an hour entering the corners at, in particular, Martinsville, because that's one I've heard a lot of people talking about. Oh, we need a new aero package to fix it. I just struggle to see where an aero package would fix it. Now, yeah, Bristol, you're going into the corners at what, 160 as kind of topping out speed?
During qualifying, they were hitting 150 miles an hour.
Yeah, so about 150 entering the corners and stuff. I mean, yeah, it's a little bit better than the 130 that I've mentioned, but is it enough for aerodynamics to play a major factor? I don't know.
No.
And that's where I'm starting to get to that point where it's like, we've tried everything else. What is the harm in trying and just adding a little bit of horsepower back in? If it doesn't work, take it back out.
1,000 horsepower to the Chakuta cars and let them run it. Sure, see
or
what
even,
happens.
Or even just back up to 750 where it was in the Gen 6 era back in 2017, 2016 or so, back when, at least in my opinion, we had some of my personal favorite short track races coming from that era.
So let's just think, though, if you add 1,000 horsepower, what would that do to the tires?
Destroy them.
Yep.
Because the tires are not meant for that much power.
Well, and that's why I'm not saying but I'm not saying 1,000. I'm saying bump it up from 750 back, or from 670 up to 750, which is only about an 80 horsepower bump. I'm not saying to bump it all the way up to 1,000, because that's a much more drastic change.
I think Larson was saying, why not just try 1,000 horsepower?
Yeah,
I'm sorry to say, but those with how small those tires. You're not F1. You're not. Those tires are not made for that much power.
Yeah, they would have to bring a different tire.
Exactly, and that's why at least a mid-season change, I think that would be too drastic to try and do. But
we realize how bad it'd be. 2008 Indy all over again with 1,000 horsepower.
I mean, I heard a lot of people referencing 2008 Indy this weekend with the tires the way they were. I mean, Denny Hamlin even did it on his radio mid-race. So, but yeah, again, I think, though, at least for the short term, for, say, Martinsville or Richmond the next couple of weeks, I would like to see them maybe bump up the horsepower again. Only about 50 to 80 horsepower. Just get it back up to the 750 that it was at in the
gearing.
Hmm?
If they've just fixed the fucking gearing. That's their problem. They're shifting, and it's not giving them runs out of the corners.
Yeah, but I don't know how you fix that kind of problem, though, within, like, 2 weeks. Like, yeah, in the long run, yeah, maybe fixing the shifting, maybe figuring out how to build a tire that can survive one of these cars at 1,000 horsepower. Maybe one of those two changes is the long-term solution. I'm looking at something to help solve the racing for the next 2 weeks or so. Because after we go to Circuit of the Americas this weekend, we then head to Richmond and Martinsville back-to-back.
That'll be fun.
Yeah, for real.
Martinsville's going to be ass. I'm sorry, but Martinsville's going to be ass. If they don't fix the package, it's going to be ass.
So let me ask, do you guys think the racing would have been different had they laid down the PJ1 instead of Razzin?
It might have made a difference because the tires definitely were ate up a lot and they were talking about the resin a lot. So I think it could have made a difference.
What about you, Ryan?
I think to an extent it was also, I mean, I know we were talking before we went on the air about how the weather was about 8 degrees colder than expected as well, which... even the PJ1, it needs heat to activate in. I remember it was playoff Texas. I don't remember which year it was. It was, I think, 2019 or 2020. And they laid just a super thick layer of PJ1 in every lane but the top lane. Or every lane but the bottom lane, I mean. And I just remember everybody sliding across it like ice. I remember specifically Stenhouse got taken out of the race on like lap 2 because of it.
It was 2019, and it just ruined. It just stained the track, and it ruined it.
Yeah, I remember when they did that last year.
They just lathered it up again.
It seemed like at Bristol last year they laid that PJ1 in the low line. It seemed like they were just on the low line for a long, long, long time.
Yeah, again, I think referencing back to probably one of my personal favorite Bristol races was that night race back in 2017. And they laid two trails of PJ1, one in the low lane, not in the middle lane, and then on the third groove they would lay a second lane of PJ1, and it, at least from what I remember from that race, it led to both grooves being able to be used. But also the PJ1 over time would eventually start to lose some of its effectiveness.
Yeah,
but
I got you.
Gave guys a chance to try and start getting the rubber worked in as well up there. And there was no rubber taking to the track with how cold the track was yesterday.
What about you, Tyler? You think there would be a big difference in the race and how there'd be PJ1 instead of resin?
I honestly don't know. Because there was we can't really tell until we go to Bristol back in the fall. Because they're thinking about putting PJ1 on in the fall.
Yeah. Yeah, I just remember that.
Honestly, I hate PJ1 so much. But honestly, I think it does that. I think with this car, I think it's...
Yeah, for sure. With the tire pack, the package they're running and the tires they're running is just built for it, but... I just remember them laying it down at Bristol last year. It just seemed like they just tore that low line up where they laid that down on. Like, all night.
Last year, it seems like they didn't pit as much as they did this year.
For sure, yeah.
When we were there, it didn't seem like it at all.
No, they didn't pit much then. That's for sure. There wasn't nothing really going on. It just spread out really a whole lot. And I feel like the resin gave... For some reason, gave it a little better racing. For some reason, like maybe wore the tires a little quicker, so that they can, you know, I don't know. Just the racing was pretty good with the resin. I know that much, even though the tire wear was absolutely horrifying.
Yeah, the tire wear.
But that if it's anything, if it's anything like the night racing, freaking Bristol, that was boring racing. Just like spread out. No chance of passing for a while and stuff. Anyway.
All right. So, is there any other complaints or comments about the race from the other day?
No.
Before we move on to the next topic?
None that I can think of.
I was just gonna say that that Toyota obviously outperformed again.
Yep.
You know, Chevrolet was not running very well. Specifically, Hendrick Motorsports. They were in the back of the field for a while. I guess they got caught up in a little wreck and got themselves shuffled to the back. In which case, you know how hard it is to pass at Bristol. But I'm glad to see that Hendrick got a pretty decent finish out of all of it. So
that actually flows pretty well into the next topic, which is kind of where we have been kind of spotlighting one team throughout this the last several weeks. I know at one point we did Front Row. Was last week? Last week we covered Joe Gibbs as well in that segment, Ben, if you remember correctly.
I believe we did, yes. I believe we did. All right,
well, I guess we're doubling it up because this weekend it was another Joe Gibbs and Toyota show, including all four in-house Joe Gibbs cars finishing inside the top 10. Obviously, the 1-2 finish from Hamlin and Truex, the two veterans on the team, but both Ty Gibbs and Christopher Bell able to come home with top 10 finishes as well.
Let me tell you, as a Joe Gibbs homer, because of the Washington Redskins, how well is Ty Gibbs doing so far? He's been very impressive.
Yep. I wanted to go ahead and shout out some of the other Toyotas as well in the race, because last week I know we talked a lot about the in-house Joe Gibbs cars, but John Hunter Nemechek for the second week in a row was right up there inside the top 10. He ends up coming home with a sixth place finish this week.
Truex.
Yeah, he Truex. Good. Yeah, Truex. He's on that bounce back season, trying to hopefully put together a good season while he is once again in talks about whether or not he'll retire. Eric Jones was running pretty well prior to kind of that last round of green flag stops not going too well for him, which isn't overly surprising for a Legacy Motor Club pit crew. They are still working on building up their stuff because that Richard Petty team fell so far behind throughout the 2010s that now as they enter the 2020s. Exactly. It's not a big surprise. Yeah, that they fell behind on the pit stops. And then you had the 2311 cars, which were up front early in the race, but then Tyler Reddick had his tire go down, which was was Reddick's the first tire to go down? I think Reddick's might have been the first tire to go down, which led to the one retirement from the race.
Yeah, no, he spun, too. Went
diving into him, yeah. So he and Bubba Wallace both had tire trouble, which led them to poor finishes, but they both also ran up inside the top 10 at points throughout the day. So just wanted to shout out some of the other Toyota drivers.
Yeah, but, for sure.
Yeah, it looks like that new Toyota body, similar to the when they brought the new Camry back in 2017. Yeah, they're looking just as strong as back then, and even this year it's not taking until the summer to really have it pop off for more than just one driver, because back in 2017, Truex was the only Toyota to win prior to New Hampshire.
Yeah, they're improving. Toyota's definitely improving. They're racking up the wins. They're moving up the win board.
Yeah, and Yeah, I know none of us were overly worried about the Toyotas necessarily making the playoffs, but you've got two of them already locked in with wins, so yeah, for the Joe Gibbs resources, they can start to kind of focus the resources potentially on MTJ, and in particular trying to get Ty Gibbs that first career win, especially when they've got two more short tracks coming up, again, once we get past Circuit of the Americas this week. Yeah, you know, we got both Richmond, which has been a typical Toyota track over the last couple of years. And then you've got Martinsville, which, you know, again, the flat, short tracks like Phoenix, they were pretty good at Phoenix this past week, so.
Yeah.
But did this potentially show hope for the Legacy Motor Club cars, though? Or the 2311 cars to maybe get more than six Toyotas into the playoffs?
I mean, it's quite possible. I mean, I don't think Ford has been very promising this year. Chevy and Toyota have really stepped it up this year.
Yep.
I think as of right now,
it's hard to say that they would get more than six Toyotas in just because of how that there's only 16 spots in total in the playoffs. But
yeah.
I could see, especially at Darlington, maybe Eric Jones sneaking a win. That would take another Toyota spot up there. In addition to the at least three of the four Joe Gibbs cars probably winning a race.
Yeah, I think there'll be at least four. And then
you've got Reddick, who will probably win it as well. And then you've got the question of, okay, Ty Gibbs, does he get a win and end up becoming that sixth Toyota into that one? Does Bubba Wallace go and pop up in Kansas?
Just remember, Tyler Reddick is the defending winner of COTA, too, as well.
Yeah. Yeah, as I say, he won COTA last year, so you can't necessarily rule him out. But this field at Circuit of the Americas is certainly going to be one to talk about, and we'll talk about that in a moment. But we talked about Toyota a lot last week. I don't think we need to go too heavy into them again. But yeah, just wanted to go ahead and shout out just how well those Toyotas have been looking. And I guess we can start with some Circuit of the Americas preview. So we've got Shane Van Gisbergen getting ready for his first cup race of the season. Yeah, he'll be in that number 16 car for Colleague Racing. Kamui Kobayashi is another one of the drivers coming in for a one-off race. He'll be in the number 50 for 2311. Yeah, Timmy Hill in the 66 is the other part-timer who will be in the race in addition
You said Ginsberg is going to be in there, or whatever his name is?
SVG, Shane Van Gisbergen will be in the 16 for Colleague Racing. But don't worry, AJ Allmendinger fans, he will also be in the race. He'll be driving the number 13 car for Colleague Racing as well. So Colleague Racing will be bringing three cars to the track this week to accompany Shane Van Gisbergen in addition to Allmendinger, both getting to run the road course. So, yeah, it's a stacked field. Anyone want to give some thoughts or some predictions for COTA?
Yeah, I got Chase Elliott winning and getting out of his slump.
All right.
So. I'm going to go with Shane Van Gisbergen's going to get top 10.
All right.
I actually kind of agree with that. I'm actually going to agree with that.
I would love to imagine that it's going to be an SVG versus Allmendinger battle at the front. The only hard part there would be just kind of the lack of reps, but for a lot of these drivers, it's a lack of reps at this track because it's a fairly new track.
How cool would it be if it was Larson and Ginsberg at the top and they were battling it out?
I think it'd be cooler if Michael McDowell won it, but that's definitely bias coming through.
It would be nice.
Yep. And I say, there's a lot of, and this is the kind of track, and the good thing about having a lot of road courses is that we've got a lot of chances for this SVG versus the field kind of storyline to prove itself. And as we saw at Indianapolis last year, Shane Van Gisbergen's not invincible on the road courses, but as I say, he is certainly not one to be overlooked either. So we really didn't have a whole lot of, there was really not a lot of news topics to talk about from this past week, aside from the
the tire
issues.
Yeah,
Ben, did you have any other topics?
Well, what do you feel that they're going to do next Bristol race? Are they going to run the same package? Do you think they're going to change it up?
I mean, I think that they definitely should be looking to change it up. I think they should be looking for a change even sooner than that. I think a change before, say, Richmond in 2 weeks, or before Martinsville the week after. I think one of the package should be shifted before we even get to those. But yeah, by Bristol in the fall, there should be some idea, whether it's, again, just not using the resin or using it, something else like PJ1. But yeah. I think there's a chance that they just go with it and assume that the weather is going to be enough to change it. I don't like that idea because it sounds like just doing the same thing and expecting a different result, which is textbook definition insanity.
This NASCAR we're talking about.
Well, yeah. I mean, going in circles is kind of their thing.
Yeah, for real.
Another left turn and another.
Yep.
I think they should keep it how it is. And obviously, it's going to be cold then, too, though. That's only going to be the problem.
I don't know. I mean, it's what, early to mid-September? I mean,
it's pretty chilly there last time I was there.
Okay, yeah, it just feels like it should be much warmer down there. Usually by that time, we're starting to worry about snow, which reminds me, we've got snow coming in starting tonight and going on through the next, like, 4 days.
That sounds like fun. Keep it up there.
We've got two separate storms coming between tomorrow night and Monday, dropping about 5 to 7 inches each.
I live in Ohio. I don't get snow.
Yeah. How about another thing we could add is Chase Elliott running that Dale Jr. throwback ski at Darlington? It looks beautiful.
That, actually, I'm excited for that.
Yeah.
Now,
Can
I actually say something real quick about, speaking of Dale Earnhardt Jr.? I don't know. Is that rumor true that he might be running the All-Star race?
I haven't heard anything about that.
I haven't heard anything about that.
I doubt it.
I'd love to see it, but there's better rumor about it. Yeah,
but it is North Wilkesboro, so I wouldn't doubt it. That'd be cool.
Yeah, I just know that I've heard and gotten fooled by a couple of those types of things over the years, usually following around one of my favorite drivers, Carl Edwards, and the possible return, like the potential. Apparently, Chip Ganassi reached out to him during 2020 when Larson got suspended.
Oh, well.
That's a junior? Carl Edwards.
That was Carl Edwards. He reached out to Carl Edwards before talking to Matt Kenseth. Yeah, Carl Edwards was the first call he made, and then the second one was to Kenseth. But, Carl Edwards turned him down back in 2020, so. Yep, but, I think we started to talk about Coda picks. Let me go ahead and actually get them written in here real quick. So we'll go again with Tino, because I know Tino already said his. So, Tino.
What did Tino say?
You said Elliot breaking the drought?
Yes, sir.
All right, and Ben, I know I heard you say, you said... SVG for the top 10.
I'm going SVG.
Okay, you're going to take SVG for the win?
Okay.
Why not?
All right, SVG.
Oh, come on.
Don't be. All right. I'll go ahead and let Tyler have the next pick here.
I'm going to go with the repeat. I'm going to go with last year's winner, Tyler Reddick. Mr. Ryan Dyer.
I'll go with a nice, easy, boring, predictable pick. I'll take one of my favorite drivers. I'll take Michael McDowell. It was between him and Alvin Dyer
is a solid. To be fair,
yeah, it's a great pick. He's a very solid driver, man.
He won
consistent.
He won Indy. I'm going to watch him.
He won Indy last year. He also looked very solid at And say he also looked very solid at the Chicago street course. I don't remember how he finished at this race a year ago, but the cars look fast this year, and I have a good feeling for Michael McDowell.
Top five. I think he.
Top five this race a year ago.
Yeah, he made it through the pirates last year. Know? I think they are removing stage cautions. I think for COTA and for COTA only, from what I've heard. I don't know how true it
that.
Is.
I've heard that they've added them back for every road course this year.
They need to do it. They need to get rid of all road courses.
They had done that, and then they changed it back for Charlotte because of backlash, because it was making the racing boring at tracks. Watkins Glen, the fans were complaining about how boring the races were without cautions to break them up.
I thought the race was good because I was there in person.
Yeah, I mean, I thought the same thing about Indy, although, again, it might have been biased because my driver was out front for a good portion of the race, and if there were cautions to bunch the field back up, Mike McDowell and I had the same dominating day he had.
This is literally how I looked when Chase Elliott stopped on the back stretch at Watkins Glen.
Yep.
This is what I say.
Mismanaged fuel there.
This is what I was saying.
Refuel the fucking car.
NASCAR fans who don't like actual road course racing, oh well.
NASCAR fans are I'm gonna say this right now. We're part of a group of the next gen fans who actually like the road course racing.
Road racing is actual racing.
I feel like the biggest thing is it feels like
dirt racing is actual racing, but we're not gonna go there.
Well, yeah, but you know NASCAR can't do a dirt race to save their life.
Dirt Bristol was actually pretty good.
Dirt Bristol was actually pretty good.
I was at two of the three Bristol dirt races.
But
the only one I missed was last year's.
Ain't nothing beating the 410 sprint car, though.
I've never heard any positive reviews on the dirt track racing at Bristol.
I loved it all three years.
I was there last year, and it was fucking amazing.
The issue I have with
Bristol. I love dirt racing.
I love the racing too, but the issue I have with it is that it's not real dirt racing.
It's manufactured.
I do agree.
On top of a road track, and the cars aren't made for dirt. They need to have a car that's made for dirt racing, and have a track separate for dirt racing that they can add into the series. I think that'd be cool. Have a car that's made for the dirt racing.
A lot of your local dirt tracks can't handle a NASCAR Cup crowd. I mean, Eldora might be able to handle it. No,
Eldora has 30,000.
Bristol could.
Knoxville can. They have a Knoxville.
Bristol, Charlotte.
Well, I'm talking a legit.
Yeah,
dirt
you're
track.
Saying
like nothing.
Yeah, Bristol,
has...
Charlotte.
No. I'm
I
not
can tell you right
like
now.
The only, over top of the road.
I'm going to tell you right now. Being a dirt fan, dirt. The only three
they got
tracks,
an actual dirt track.
I'm going to tell you right now,
has an infield
Where's
dirt
that?
Track.
It's out a few miles past the drag strip.
Okay, that's why I haven't seen it.
So I honestly think a good one would be Eldora, because they can hold about 30,000.
Yeah,
Knoxville can hold about 25, 30,000, but they can expand. They
because 30,000 is on the low end for a NASCAR Cup race, especially if you're
North
Wilkesboro.
North Wilkesboro only was supposed to have 10,000 people.
Yeah,
but this whole gimmick of them trying to put a track inside of Dodger Stadium, if that's a real legit rumor, that is asinine.
Yeah, that's crazy. Why not rebuild? I don't know.
Why not
they need to rebuild some of the tracks they got?
Why not just make a legit dirt track? Like, why can't NASCAR just be like, hey, let's be creative, think outside the box. Let's have our all. That's what
the
they
oval.
Should do. They should make make their own dirt track from scratch, you know, and make that the race in the beginning of the year instead of that stupid stadium shit.
When it comes to the whole Bristol dirt race, though, I will say a couple of the things that, since I was at the first two,
one.
Yeah, so some actual, criticism from someone who actually was there and appreciated the dirt racing while we had it at Bristol. Criticisms I could say was that the race should have never been scheduled for the daytime because it was all the hot sun ends up baking it and just drying the track right out, which leads to way too much dust and making it near impossible to see. I mean, go back to any of my footage from the Bristol Dirt Race in 2021. You can barely see the cars because the dust is so bad.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You sent videos. You sent me a couple videos. Yeah, I remember.
And I say, I also posted them on YouTube as well.
Yep, I remember saying them.
The stage finishes and stuff. Now, in year two, they made the right choice. They made it. They changed it to the night race. Now, I'm not trying to talk about like the whole racing on Easter night thing, even though I'm not a big fan. I'd rather see it on Saturday night versus a Sunday night. But
yeah,
regardless, they moved it to the nighttime and it was better. Now, there were weather problems, but you can't predict the weather to an extent.
Here you go, guys.
Spring Bristol always fought weather changes, although
and there's I will my say professional. This,
if that race was on the concrete in 2022, I don't think that race happens on Sunday night. I think it gets pushed to Monday, maybe even later than that, depending on what the weather looked like the rest of the weekend. But it was a damp and soggy night. But the dirt track was able to actually do it, and because of the added moisture, it was actually
Welcome
able
to Bristol.
Happen. The race was actually able to work somewhat well.
You better bring your raincoat when you come to Bristol, folks.
Yeah, especially in the spring. But then 2023's race, I wasn't able to go. I had to watch it from this chair right here. But
I got to watch it from Petty Tower.
Nice. Everything looked well on the TV aspect.
It was fucking amazing.
Yeah, I mean
that finish was the best finish I've ever seen.
Huh. Yeah, I mean even like. Because, like, I know in 2022 they had the ridiculous finish where Briscoe slid up, took out Reddick, and allowed Kyle Busch to sneak through for a win, but wasn't my favorite way for one of my favorite drivers to go ahead and get a win. But the way that they raced in 2023, it felt like the drivers had finally figured out how to race these cars on dirt and put on a legit show. You saw one of your dirt regulars, Christopher Bell, able to find his way to victory lane.
Anyway, to go check out the chat, I just put something that you guys might like.
Alright, let's go ahead and see what this is.
There's just a loud rumbling of the cars at Watkins Glen.
But, that was kind of the thing I wanted to say about Dirt Bristol. It probably won't return, and I'm not gonna say I'm gonna.
Beautiful sound.
I'm not gonna miss
gotta
it.
Gotta love that sound.
I think
I will definitely end up missing Dirt Bristol to an extent, but I will say if they do want to do a dirt race again, don't cover Bristol if you can. Do it at a proper dirt track if you can get enough seating. Again, that's one of those things. I know, like North Wilkesboro doesn't have a ton of seating either, and I've been
They're actually expanding it to 50,000 this year.
Yeah, they're
going to go. They're trying to go all the way around the track.
You got to be able to actually see.
Here's the thing about that. I think the fans have spoken. They came. They showed up this year, record numbers, but really, really a lot of fans came this year to watch the cars back on concrete. So, I think the fans have spoken, and I honestly didn't like the dirt track. That's just my opinion, though. I love anybody's opinion.
Anyway, no, but the thing is, actually, we touched on it before the podcast started. The attendance. Everybody said attendance was crappy. Those grandstands were easily over 90,000, 100,000 people. Maybe like 40,000, 50,000 seats left.
Yep.
That's about it. It was easily over 100,000, maybe even 110,000.
That's a hard thing to gauge it against the attendance of the dirt race, at least the 2 years I was there, because there were significant weather problems. Like, it was completely rained out both Saturday, Sunday, so everything had to be run on Monday for the first dirt race, and then the second one was run in the middle of a rainstorm, so it was hard to really gauge what the attendance really looked like or what the interest was.
have an announcement for. I just ran across an article 6 days ago.
All
Don't
right.
follow this guy, but it's on Facebook. Ryan Ellis, a driver in the Xfinity series.
Yep, drives the 43.
Announced they re-signed a multi-race partnership with Costa Oil, and they're going to race.
Oh, Costa Oil.
Yeah, it's going to be raced at Martinsville Speedway, the first race. That's pretty cool.
Nice.
Yeah, and along with Ashburn Pub and Dakota Riggers as partners.
Ooh.
Yeah, and a little bit more of the breaking news from today specifically. I know we talked about this as well before we went on the air, but Matt Benedetto is back in the NASCAR Xfinity Series on a part-time deal with the number 38 team.
Matty D!
So, definitely excited to see him returning to the racetrack as well.
Haven't heard his name in a long time.
Yes, sir. I'm glad to hear that. Love Matt.
Yeah, I know we got one of our... a couple of people from our podcast I know are excited about that one. But, yeah, I think... Is that all the news we had from this week, though, I think? Or is there more that I missed? Because I've been kind of out of it this week.
Let's take a look here and just check the notes.
See if there's anything breaking. Imagine if news came out right now while we're filming. That'd be funny. It is a triple header weekend this weekend for the Trucks, Xfinity, and Cup. Trucks and Xfinity both racing on Saturday. Trucks at 1:30. The Xfinity series will be starting at 5. I won't be home to watch the start of the truck race, so I won't be streaming that one over on my channel, but I'll be doing live watch-alongs for both Xfinity and Cup.
Yeah,
watching
you
the SVG doing the double, because Shane Van Gisbergen will be racing both races.
Goodyear
first time he's actually raced a double in NASCAR, I believe, outside of the Daytona weekend.
Bristol Goodyear, Goodyear responded to the tire wear at Bristol, just like.
And say they did a live press conference in the middle of the race, if I'm not mistaken, talking about it. Yeah, that's how off it was with the tire wear, to the point where Goodyear had to make a statement mid-race about the tire wear.
Well, we could talk the top five standings right now. We got Kyle Larson in first, tied with Martin Truex in second with 184. Well, that's surprising. Truex
yeah,
is
I mean,
actually.
Blaney was topping the standings last week, but he dropped all the way down to fourth.
Yeah, Gibbs is third, and Hamlin's fifth.
Yeah, I mean, Ty Gibbs is backing up the strong rookie season he had last year, avoiding the sophomore slump that we said he needed to avoid, trying to avoid becoming kind of the next. Austin Cindric, for lack of a better term, a driver who had a great rookie season, but then had a big
Austin
sophomore
Cindric
slump.
The only reason he had a good sophomore season was because of the Daytona 500.
No, he had a few other solid runs throughout the season.
I'm entering a sweepstakes.
Mainly on road courses. He had mainly road course success, but he had some other good runs. Yeah, he only had the one win, but if you look at the average number of wins, even for, like, the series champion, it feels like the series champion on average wins about 3 to 5 races a year. I mean, for a rookie to go out there and win one race isn't a really good season.
Andrew the Sweepstakes had a Camaro courtesy of Ally and Hendrix.com. It's a limited edition Chevrolet Camaro.
Yep. So yeah, Michael McDowell just misses out on the top 16 after this past week.
I'd like to see them push out a Corvette.
Corvette? What on the track?
Push a Corvette as their car, as their model
what,
car.
You want a Corvette on the NASCAR track?
I want them to be. I want them to use the Corvette as their model instead of Camaro, because Camaro has quit making cars. They're done with Camaros.
They're done with Camaros.
Yep.
Yeah, they're done manufacturing them.
Really? I didn't hear about
that. In real life, yeah.
Yeah, I haven't heard about that one either, but if they do, the question is, how long will Ford stick with their current model versus going to, say, the Ford GT?
Well, they're at the Dark Horse.
Yeah, I know that they just brought in the Dark Horse, but will they potentially upgrade to a more sleek design similar to the Corvette with the Ford GT as opposed to the Mustang being a more boxy muscle car type and almost adopting these sports cars?
There's no other...
And then Toyota has the Supra in development, which we
nothing is more legendary than a Corvette.
Yeah. Well, then the Chevrolet, yeah, the Supra could, okay, the Supra and the Corvette, I guess, it could be comparable.
They're gonna go Cadillac.
Again, you've got the Ford GT that they use body style that they used in with Chip Ganassi over in sports car racing in the GT.
That would open up. That would open up a path for another. That could open up the path for fucking Nissan to bring in like a Skyline or something.
No, yep. It could be a Honda Civic or Accord.
Civic's not comparable to Supra or anything. Skyline would be the closest thing.
You realize Civic?
Say, what about Honda? BMW potentially bringing in a car? Because BMW used to race in the same GTLM division with the Corvette Civic, and the Ford GT.
That Skyline Type R. GTR.
And say, if you really want to push it, I mean, Ferrari also has a body style that was comparable.
Honestly, yeah,
I doubt that Ferrari comes into NASCAR, but just another one.
Ferrari is not going to go to NASCAR.
Yeah, I tell you right now, the Corvette.
Yeah, it's just another one that had the body style for that same division back in IMSA.
That'll be some futuristic looking NASCAR cars, man. That Corvette is wicked looking.
I hate to see the Impala. If they put out Impala, I just swear. They better not roll out another Impala.
Impala hasn't been made since 2019.
I just can't imagine them rolling out an Impala instead of a Corvette.
So
it's going to be a Monte Carlo, probably.
What was the reason why they're getting rid of the Camaro?
Or no, Malibu. Malibu, my bad. It's probably going to be a
That
Malibu.
Would be pretty cool to see a Monte Carlo be brought back and it be a pretty nice car.
Why are they getting rid of the Camaro? They're just going to get rid of it
altogether? They're stopping
it's
production.
My favorite car. My dad
has a Camaro. Are they stopping production or are they just not making gas powered anymore? Are they potentially just going with an electric?
No, I'm being serious. They're stopping production of the Camaro, the Charger.
Okay, no, I know about
the Challenger, I think.
No, I'm just saying, the Challenger. Ford's going to be the only muscle car producer because besides Corvette.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind having a
Corvette's
muscle.
Corvette's more of a sports car than a muscle car.
That's Chevy. Chevy's not going to put their Corvette all electric.
Yeah, Chevrolet has officially waved goodbye to the sixth generation. Okay, so it's right here. The sixth generation is the final generation.
Sucks. I love Camaros. Rest in peace, Camaro.
Or yep, whatever.
Chevy Camaro is to cease production in the end of 2024. So the end of this year.
I could see Chevy adopting a new body kit for 2025, especially if the fall off from Toyota and Ford is significant, although, it looks like Ford's a step behind compared to Toyota and Chevy right now, but with how good Toyota's look to start the year with a new body kit, wouldn't rule out potentially Ford.
Dude, they better bring out the Corvette, dude. Oh my goodness, that'd be so nice.
But, I think that's pretty much everything we had on the list. we've kind of gone through additional news and stuff, but unless anyone else has any other news topics that have broken in the last 2 minutes.
Nope.
I don't think so. I could check Bob Pockris real quick. You know, he's the guy.
Guess this is an end to the podcast.
Yeah, so we already went through picks, but to go ahead and reiterate who everybody has for their picks.
Whew.
Yeah, we've got Okay, here we go. So we got Tino taking Elliot, we got Ben taking SVG, we got Tyler taking Tyler, and we've got, I'm taking Michael McDowell for my pick, so.
Yes, sir.
Those are the four selections for us. Our other co-hosts who are normally with us will be making their picks before the race, and we will meet back with you guys next week to talk about all things Circuit of the Americas and get ready for the Easter weekend race at Richmond Raceway. So,
yes, sir.
Thank you guys all for listening or watching. If you guys are over on the YouTube side of things, if you guys are on the YouTube side of things, hit the subscribe button. We'll be back next week with another podcast. Also, check out some of our other podcasts on the channel. We got pretty much every sport. We got baseball. We got football. Do we got any other podcasts over there right now, Ben?
Basketball will be starting up probably in the beginning of the year for when the
next year. Next.
Right, we have our baseball podcast in the works as well.
Baseball's going to be this Friday. Hopefully, Podbean will actually work so you can get your lovely call. Everybody misses me in baseball because everybody knows how huge of a baseball fan I am.
Yeah, so a quick shout out to our sponsors as well. We got W Energy, we got the Alkali Project who make the intro music for. Intro and outro music for this podcast. We got Century PC, we got Fanatics, we got Sleece, we got Bulletproof Coffee, we got Duke Cannon. Don't think I missed any of the other sponsors I'm supposed to read off, so I think that's pretty much everything. So,
yes, sir.
Again, as we said, we will see you guys after Circuit of the Americas.
Hey, enjoy the race, guys.
Yeah.
Peace.